Brought to you by Bose, presenting their most advanced pilot headset ever, the Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides acclaimed noise reduction, along with a comfortable fit, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Tim Leslie. He is Supervisor for Flying Operations at the National Research Council in Ottawa, Canada. Now, Tim, there were 25 feats of science that were featured in Popular Science in their year-end edition, the top 25 as far as science goes, and the only aviation-related one was a little hop you took over Ottawa a few weeks ago. Why don't you tell us the significance of that hop?
Well, the significance has to do primarily with using 100% biofuel. Up until now, it's been up to 50-50 and 60-40 blends, and it has to do with the molecules and the gas. So showing that you can actually run something on 100% non-petroleum-based fuel is significant from the perspective of you don't have to go into the ground to get the gas. There will always be sustainability or scalability issues related to it, but this particular mustard seed is a what they call a fallow field growth, so you're not going to get into taking away from food crops.
Yeah, this is a plant that grows on land that you can't farm, right?
You either can't farm, or the net release of the byproduct of growing this. The reason why they call it a fallow field crop is that they'll grow it in between crops, and it'll actually put nutrients back into the soil. So that's another reason behind it being a win-win-win situation, is that you're not pulling nutrients out of the soil in this plant. It's fallow field, and it can also grow where traditionally you couldn't grow anything else. So one of the big problems or the big criticisms of biofuel has always been that you're going to displace food crops, and ethanol-based fuel is a good example of that. And this doesn't do that.
And this stuff, it's called Brassica carinata, Ethiopian mustard, grows on the worst land in Saskatchewan, which is one of probably the worst places to grow anything on Earth anyway.
Exactly. And there's three elements to this that you have to bring into it, and it's probably why it made it to the top 25. The first is the actual plant itself, the Ethiopian mustard, the way that it's grown. That's the first aspect. The other is the ARA company, which is Advanced Research Associates, and it's the way, it's a new method of producing the biofuel, and it's, right now, it's patented technology. They're building a big plant. Our flight was really just showing that it can be done. It's rather complex, but it's almost the same way that they make plasma for blood. And then the third one, of course, is we actually flew the 100%. And don't forget that we also had the T-33 in behind with its measurement pods, which we can measure the gases coming out of it. And the reason why it was important to burn it at 40,000 feet is because the interaction with the atmosphere of the byproducts of the fuel burn is wholly different up at altitude than it is on the ground. So it's sort of like three strikes on this one. It's like one, the way it was grown, the way it was processed, and then the way we measured it up at 40,000 feet.
Okay, and you did it in a Falcon. Notice any difference when you flip the switch?
None whatsoever. And in fact, speaking now, putting my test pilot hat on, you have to remember that I spent 2 years putting together the test program for this. So the last thing you want as a test pilot or doing any research is a surprise. So we also did a bunch of test cell with a Falcon engine, in our altitude chamber. So by the time we get to actually flipping that switch, hopefully it's a non-event. The Chuck Yeager days of testing are long over.
Okay, well, one of the other things about alternative fuels is their behavior at altitude and at low temperatures. This fuel is okay in the tanks? Doesn't need any special treatment?
No, it doesn't. Not any more than the FS2 that's required in anything else. You're talking about the slushing in the tanks. And we haven't we haven't found. Now, we haven't been up at altitude very long, but we actually have tried to freeze the fuel. Now, jets are a little different than pistons, as you know, so it's not as critical a factor with regards to the miscibility or the attraction to water, but it doesn't show those characteristics. But the only difference I saw, I actually helped load the fuel on, because it's not like I don't get my hands dirty. I do get my hands dirty. And the interesting thing is that it almost had a varifane smell to it versus the classic fuel smell of jet.
NRC, National Research Council, is involved in some other fuel testing products. You've got a 100 low-lead test coming up. Why don't you explain a little bit about that?
Well, absolutely. And this has to do with... whereas biofuel is primarily concerned about the carbon aspect, the 100 low lead is the lead, which the lead is going to be mandated out. 2018 is the number that we hear from the Environmental Protection Agency, and you'll want to have an octane rated gas high enough so that you can run high compression engines, and that's where the research is going. Now, when you look at it, you know, in terms of the aviation fleet, you're talking less than 5% of the aviation fleet worldwide is piston engine. And a lot of people say, why bother? Well, the reason why you bother is that's where the training, that's where this, you know, all the third-tier commercial operators with their Navajos or Barons are, as well as things like firefighting. And then you look at all the northern operators, you know, what is it, the Buffalo Airways, as well as the flying fishings, all of the, there's a whole industry that depends upon 100 low lead. And being a general aviation fan myself, I'm going to try and leverage the work that we've done with the jet fuel and make sure that we don't forget about the general aviation people as well.
You haven't started the test program yet, but tell us conceptually what you're going to be doing.
Well, we're looking at a two-tiered, it's going to be the same scientific method as what we did with the biofuel for jet, is we're looking at five potential fuel alternatives, and we're going to run them in a, we're originally looking at a Lycoming engine, but we're probably going to go with Continental now, because FAA is focusing its research on Lycoming, and if just last September, October, the Federal Aviation Administration got about a $20 million grant to go ahead and continue to find an alternative for 100 low lead. We're going to be tapping into that a little bit, but what the FAA has asked us, and this was as recent as last week, Russ, we're going to go down with Lycoming research, and they asked us, they said, well, why don't you do Continental? Because between Lycoming engines and a Continental engine, you're covering off about 90% of the piston engine fleet. So what we're trying to find is a fuel that has an octane rating. You're going to need at least around 98 to 100 octane rating so that you can get the high compression engines and the turbocharged engines to look after. We have five fuels that we're looking at, and we're going to go anywhere from 94 unleaded through to 100 very low to the Swift fuel and the Gammy fuel. And then, believe it or not, there's an offshoot of the biofuel from ARA that they want us to try out. So that could be a safe fuel. We think one of them in there is going to be a drop-in, and let me explain drop-in for a second. What I mean by drop-in is it's just not the engine burns the fuel, no problem, but you don't create peaks in the oil tanks and even the whole infrastructure behind it from the you know, the gasoline tankers on the highway don't wind up leaking, and then the fuel tanks where you get them at the airport. So there's a whole lot more involved to this than simply just the fuel. And then on top of that, we have to measure the emissions as well as the other toxicity factors. There's a lot involved with making this fuel a seamless replacement to 100 low lead.
Good luck with the research, Tim. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by Bose, presenting their most advanced pilot headset ever, the Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides acclaimed noise reduction along with a comfortable fit, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.